Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Emmy Award-winning visual and special effects artist, Gene Warren Jr.
Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, international award-winning pianist, Dr. Svetlana Trensky. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We have titled this show, Life is Learning, Learning is Life. And we've titled it that for several different reasons, one of them which is because our guest is an educator. Actually, our musical guest is an educator as well. And so it's definitely about education and teaching, and it's also about learning. So as an educator, our guest, Gene Warren Jr., has been teaching students how to do special effects and visual effects and all of that. At the same time, somebody like him and so much knowledge can also teach us about life. And in just the few conversations that I've had with him recently, I have learned so much about life, and I am already grateful to him, and I'm not even a filmmaker. It's about life. And so one of the things, I don't remember what conversation it was, but he said, you know, if you want to learn something, you'd actually enjoy, and he pointed me to the National Geographic Titanic documentary that he had done with this person that this person he was calling Jimmy. Finally figured out Jimmy was Jimmy Cameron. But I did watch it because I was interesting, and there I learned something else. It's interesting that James Cameron won all these awards, made all this money off of this film. It's done. It's over. Everybody says, wow, like you've reached it. And to watch James Cameron in this documentary talking about potentially going back and changing the film, or potentially doing another one, or potentially changing the visual effects, or potentially teaching people what he has since learned, it's not as if he arrived and he was done. It seems to me that Titanic especially is a part of who he is. And it has come to my attention that as decorated as he is, he's an Academy Award winner and he's an Emmy Award winner and several other awards. Our guest, Gene Warren Jr., is all about learning. And he is learning to this day. He is teaching to this day. And he started out learning and being aware that he was learning something. And if he can impart that on us today, how this all began and how he continues to do this, I think we all will have learned about life. And in essence, we will be living even better after this interview. Looking forward to our conversation with Gene Warren Jr. and a little later on, live music here in the studio with Dr. Svetlana Trensky, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger.
Boy, living better. That one rang a bell when you said it. Yeah. And that's kind of what we've been striving to do ever since we met and put together this show and ended up here at Studio NoHo and all sorts of fun.
You know, and you say that, and it is interesting that we had markers of, oh, if we do this, we will have achieved. If we do that, we will have achieved. And we've achieved so many of our markers, and we've got so many more to go. But all this time, we've been living. We've been learning.
Well, that's why they call them markers.
A marker. Thank you, Mark. Very nice. Well, again, life is learning. Learning is life with our guest, Academy Award winner. And by the way, that was for Terminator 2. And Emmy Award winning visual effects and special effects artist, Gene Warren Jr. So good to have you here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Filippo.
What a pleasure it's been having all of these conversations with you, and now we get to share some of them on the show. This thing about learning, you have been put into some really interesting situations ever since you were a child. But did that just happen, or did you recognize this was an opportunity for me to learn something?
Probably both. Okay. I mean, you know, you have to make the best of the luck that is put in front of you. Mm. So, and I did most of the times. Particularly now, with been around the block so many times that you can start to really analyze what the hell went on in your life. And you know, I guess you're right. You're making me blush with all of this.
Well, you know. So many studios, so many directors and producers and actors, and so many shows and so many films. You have amassed a knowledge, and it all started, at least this part of it, with, am I right? Is it the I Love Lucy show?
Well, that's the first time I ever actually worked in the film industry. Just one day. In 1961, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I didn't work again for 6 months. This was the grip department.
Okay, so you were a grip on the I Love Lucy show for one day.
Yeah.
But then finally the opportunities started to come, or you made them come. And what were you doing? What were some of the things you found yourself into that you learned from?
Well, I wanted to be a stuntman originally.
Oh.
Yeah. I was an accomplished spring and tower diver.
Wow.
In high school and the like. I actually worked out with the Olympic team for 6 months. 3 months. Sorry, it was only three. I couldn't do it any longer. I had other pursuits.
Okay.
You know, they wanted 6 days a week, 6 hours a day, and get out of here.
And you had a life.
I had a life. There you are. And I wanted to live it, not just be a diver.
Right.
So so the same thing happened when I was in the grip department. I once I had my seniority, I mean, again, this was taking an opportunity – on the night shift at Columbia Pictures, they had an actor's workshop where they mimicked everything that went on on a movie set. Mm-hmm. And it was the only studio that did it. And I never figured out why nobody else did that, because, you know, they hired one grip to – this was a Tony Miller, a B actor did the school and made a deal with Screen Gems, the television wing of Columbia, to set up this school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. And I was on the night shift and actually pushing a gang at 22 years old. We won't go into why, because all the other four guys on the gang were in their 40s and 50s. But I was obviously paying attention to what I do, and the night grip boss knew it, and so he had me pushing this gang. And I was only a number two. In those days, you had to work your way up through seniority. You had steady jobs and the like once you had seniority. A different world than it is now.
Yeah.
Now it's, don't call us, we'll call you after, you know, one gig.
Well, but you kept at it, and you at one point found yourself right next to the directors and the producers and the actors.
Well, that night shift, pushing the dolly, I won't go into all the details why it happened. On the night shift while I was a number two, a particular Friday night, I was putting up my tools for the weekend, and there was a note. Congratulations, you are now a number one, and show up Monday morning, like on the day shift, at 8 o'clock on stage, and I think it was like 30. It was a new stage at Columbia in Hollywood, on the new Jerry Lewis show.
Yeah.
He had just come over from Paramount, where he'd always been his entire career. And he had brought his dolly operator with him and made him the key grip, because he was allowed to bring one key person in every department, and then everybody else had to come from Columbia. So they put me on the hot seat of the crane, which is a dolly job, which is a rate job. You know, and I was 23 then. And so I was the youngest dolly operator in Hollywood with a steady job, staff job. I didn't know I was staff yet. I was too low on the food chain to even know that. It took me 4 or 5 months to realize I never got laid off. And
but you knew enough to be listening to certain things happening going around.
Well, yeah, I got to be on a crab dolly. You were with the camera all day, and you couldn't leave it, you know, go to the bathroom without getting somebody to replace you, because the director or the director of photography may want to move the camera and put it here or there. And you couldn't be not there. You couldn't be over schmoozing around the coffee or anything like that. You had to stay with that dolly in those days. And I loved it because I got to listen in like a fly on the wall to all the directors, actors, director of photography, and right there they were in front of you talking about how they were making the movie. And it was some of the bigger directors, you know, on planet Earth.
Talk about getting an education.
Well, it was a huge education, and I was really lucky because, you know, I was the number eight dolly operator. They had eight staff dolly operators, which I finally realized like 6 months later, because I never got laid off. In fact, when the Jerry Lewis movie was over, I guess that was my trial period.
What movie was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, Three on a Couch.
Three on a Couch, okay.
With Janet Leigh and Marianne Mobley, Gila Glenn, and Leslie Parrish, because he always was introducing new young women into his movies.
I just realized that I any of this conversation, like I could ask you, and we can go down a tangent where we could learn so many more things that are fascinating about the actors, about the directors, and all of that. When we come back, we're going to go down the tangent of, I think it was Stop Action. Was it Stop Action that your father was doing?
A lot of it, yes.
Okay, yes. So how
Stop Motion.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to go down that route, which then that, I think, propelled you into doing all the things that you're most famous for now.
Pretty much.
So, okay. So when we come back, more with more about life and learning with Gene Warren Jr. on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey, guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose. I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark, and we haven't stopped learning with Gene Warren Jr. As a matter of fact, during the break, we learned that he was a diver back before before diving was a sport or
scuba diving as opposed to springboard, which I was also.
Right.
That, but
scuba diving, right.
Well, no, it was. It had been for about 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Jacques Cousteau invented the He marketed an aqualung. It was like in 53 or 54.
Well,
you know, because they had been developed during the Second World War in the Navy.
Oh, wow.
And
see what I mean? We could just go on, but we were somehow you ended up at working at your father's company. And this is, I should say, this is a big movie dynasty. Your father was Gene Warren, then you, Gene Warren Jr., and now your sons are also in the industry.
They both are. Yeah, my father won an Academy Award too, visual effects, for the original Time Machine.
Really?
Yeah, both his award and mine were time travel movies.
Interesting. Yes, indeed. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so how did you end up working at your father's? You wanted something more.
Later.
Later.
I worked at 3 months there in the early 64, I think it was, and then went back to gripping because I was a dolly operator. And it was, but in 68, I guess it was, late 68, early 69, I decided I didn't want to just be a grip the rest of my life. And I had the opportunity to move into visual effects because I had worked with them earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did off and on. It wasn't as steady a job. And my children's mother, my first wife, Sue, wasn't super happy about it because, you know, I had a rate job and it was steady for like 6 years. So money came in on a regular basis. And now it was off and on at my father's for a couple of years.
Mm.
And then it got steadier. And I developed other skills. I'd already, you know, spent a lot of time studying cameras and everything because I was around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time, by 72 or something, I was pretty much a director of photography at my father's place now. Mm-hmm. Because you had, your hat had multiple brims on it if you had multiple talents. And mine did. And so I...
You learned all these skills, some of them during the time they were being created, or some of them you were part of the creation of them.
Well, later on, everything I was learning then actually had been around. I mean, movies have been around, moving pictures, since, you know, in our special effects class that I teach at USC, we start when we do the kind of a history with the first, quote, visual effect shot, the execution of Mary Queen of Scots, 1895.
Was this the actual? No.
No, she was.
Oh, wait, no, she
way
was
way earlier than that.
Okay.
No, this was, you know, a movie, a little short.
Done of, okay.
Of her losing her head. And it was an in-camera effect. And
no actors were harmed. It was
exactly.
An actual, okay.
If they didn't have to put a moniker up at that point about that, you know. You shocked the audience in those days.
Interesting. This was 18 what?
95.
Wow. Huh.
And, yeah. So, in 74 at my father's, because we were doing, we got the Doughboy commercials, you know, Pillsbury, and it was stop motion. I animated maybe 30 of those. You know, pushed
you
the Doughboy around one frame at a time.
The one that goes, hoo-hoo.
That one, yeah. I actually animated him and poked him once.
Okay.
Yeah, using... animated all of my left hand so I could poke them with the right.
Oh, that was your finger, too. Oh, I see.
My hand and your finger, because it matched the actor from that particular commercial. It was close enough, let's
that's
say.
That's pretty funny. You did Hamburger Helper, actually did the glove, too,
oh my
right?
Oh, God, yes.
the Swiss sort of, Miss Chuck Wagon.
Oh, boy, you've done your homework.
I love this. So what were some of the stuff that you feel that you've brought to the industry that wasn't developed enough yet or that hadn't people hadn't
well,
thought about?
In Chuck Wagon, we sort of developed a front screen projection, took it further, I think, than anyone else had at that point in time, because we were doing it stop motion and we could do it real seat of your pants too, but and that's what the composites were with the stop motion and the dog chasing the wagon all the time.
Yeah.
It was all done in camera. There was no post work on that because we did it front screen projection, which involves a 50-50 mirror, and you know, I mean, it was a very complicated.
You know, I won't say the name of the movie or the project, but can I say you're still doing stop action for films?
Yeah, you can.
and
yeah, maybe later on this year.
And the interesting thing too, though, is that you also you see all sides of it. Like you like CGI, and you see, you know, you know all about that, and yet you say the stop action stuff is getting so good that they should just go ahead and do it CGI, because you have a theory on that.
Well, that's a particular company that does stop motion films. All stop motion films aren't done that way, because there's a number still done and done traditionally and left. If you sweeten it too much.
Yeah.
It takes away the charm of the stop motion.
Interesting.
And then it looks like a digital cartoon.
Yeah.
And then why not just do it digitally, you know? So
that's interesting. You have a phrase you done in a way that just wowed.
Yeah, what wowed everybody was the liquid metal guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that. That was ILM. Industrial Light and Magic, you know, the Lucas facility up Northern California. And computers were still not good enough to do the compositing in T2. So none of those shots were composited on computers. The computers were used to generate, against black, the images of that liquid metal guy. And the reason Jim decided on what it looked like was because the technology wasn't good enough yet to do anything other than he picked something that looked like mercury. And if you think about it, it's the only thing in the universe that looks like that. Mm-hmm. It looks digital. It doesn't look real. It balls up and reflects the world. Nothing else does it like that.
Yeah.
Nothing. And so he...
Well, for those of us who have played with mercury when we shouldn't have been,
there's a lot of things we played with we shouldn't have.
Well, but actually, I hate to interrupt, but that's such a good point. Is like there's so many things that happen by mistake or so many things that we... And then those end up being the gems, right?
Yeah.
That's a part of living and learning, like learning from our mistakes or learning from like
Yeah, if you survive... But, you know, you're right.
So when we come back, actually, if you can think of a story of something that went totally wrong and it ended up being the best thing that could have happened for a movie or for a project, it'd be great to hear that in our next segment with Eugene. And then we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy segment in the next segment. And a little later on, live music here in the studio with Svetlana Transky, who also brought our friend with her, Marina Manukian, who will be joining her for a duet. All on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and you can hear Gene Warren Jr. going on telling us more about how learning is important. And so learning from mistakes, like or allowing mistakes to be something good potentially, or you were telling us about something that happened on a big movie. And it was you and your son, right, working on it?
Yeah, it was like 2 in the morning. We had worked on another – I had multiple movies going, and he and I had driven back from, I don't know, Thousand Oaks on Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. During the day, we were doing forced perspective stuff there. And up into the night, and we left, but it had a shot that I had to get – done.
Wait, for that movie or for the...
No, for Bram Stoker's Dracula, which we had been working on a long time. And this was a shot where Keanu Reeves is in a train car and he's reading, and the train's, you know, seeing the background go by, and all the backgrounds, you know, we created for that movie, because we did model trains. When it was a wide shot, it was always a little miniature and miniature sets of him going across Europe to Dracula's castle. And in this shot, and it's a long, it's 22 seconds. And the reason I'm saying that is because when you're doing certain types of effects, length does matter because of how much,
yeah,
how long it takes you to do it. And if something goes wrong, you got to start over again.
Oh, yeah.
So we were doing this shot that required two passes. And so it was a kind of a motion control shot, but it was in a higher resolution VistaVision for the geeks out there that know what I'm talking about. And we had finished the first pass, and it took about, I don't know, an hour and a half because it was constant. And then we backed everything up, turned all the lights out, turned on our projector, and to projected Gary Oldman's eyes that Roman Coppola had shot and blacked out him so much, so it was only his eyes, they were lit.
Mm.
And we projected him into the clouds so that we
did
a second pass in camera, and the eyes, we faded them up and faded them out while the train's moving along. And
wow.
Keanu Reeves is unaware of it, but Dracula's eyes show up in the clouds.
Right.
And so we're right in the middle now of going through where the eyes are on, and the door to our stage, the small door, but it's like 2 a.m, kind of bursts open, and flashlights come in, and it's two Burbank cops.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm telling you, my heart was pounding, and so was my son's. And I screamed, "Put out the lights!"
Yeah, you know, you're in the middle of something.
And they did. They said, well, they realized. I mean, they knew that we were this was one of my facilities. It was a couple of blocks from our main place in Burbank.
Oh, so they maybe thought somebody was burglarizing.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? They shut them out. We kept going. And they left.
You know, it's interesting how these big movies are full of stories like this.
Yeah.
What almost didn't happen, what almost didn't make it, what went wrong, what went just.
You're right.
What went right that they weren't expecting to work. And, you know, so I know you're imparting a lot of this knowledge to your students. I hope there's also a way that some of these can be captured outside of this show and what you're doing, because I love this kind of stuff, and there's so many of us that are interested in it. So thank you for sharing.
There's never enough time.
There's never enough time. And actually, interestingly enough, this is why the inspiration for the title, Life is Learning and Learning is Life, because here you are. We were talking about all this stuff on the phone, and then you said to me, "And you know what I'm into now?" And we went into a whole other conversation. Just tease us what that was about.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm kind of addicted, but it's a good addiction. You know, I sing almost every night. Karaoke.
Karaoke.
I never sang night. My whole life, and now I have
been. You were busy, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, you must have been addicted to a lot of these things, you know, cameras and all of this stuff. You had to have had that going on throughout your whole life. And now it's on singing. So we share that in common. We'll have to talk more, Mr. Gene Warren Jr.
I'd love to.
And
I'd
I look to. Forward to it. So until then, thank you so much for sharing as you did tonight. This is so special. For those who want to know more about him, of course, we have our page on the website. But you can go to GeneWarrenJr.com. And Gene is G W-A-R-R-E-N-E, Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, and Junior's just JR.com. And we've also posted that National Geographic documentary. You can catch it on Gene's website. It was fascinating. I watched it all and enjoyed every bit of it, as I did this interview. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Robert. I want to thank you for helping me in the past, and I could use some good advice now. My income flow has dried up completely, and I just don't understand why, because I am working on several big deals right now that should have already closed. I don't know what to do as my rent is due, and I don't have the funds to pay it, because I was counting on these deals, and I have been working on. Why isn't anything happening on this?
My dear friend, this is an old story. We've talked about this before, and I believe it is as simple as I've explained to you in the past. Please hear me on this. It is you who is blocking your abundance. Your consistent thought process of there is never enough makes it pretty much impossible for you to receive the abundance you deserve. Every time you talk to me, you repeat yourself and say, I don't have enough money for the rent. I don't have enough money for food. I don't have enough money for gas. These thoughts and words do not serve you. So let's find a way for you to step out of lack consciousness and fear of not having enough and step into knowing the universe responds to your thoughts, words, and actions. Louise Hay explained it perfectly in this quote. Your thoughts and beliefs of the past have created this moment and all the moments up to this moment. What you are now choosing to believe and think and say will create the next moment and the next day and the next month and the next year. So, Robert, let's take the necessary steps to change your thoughts and begin manifesting prosperity. Instead of worrying constantly and questioning if things are going to work out, you could choose to see the deals you're working on completed and the checks being deposited into your bank account. Please examine the facts that in spite of your constant negative thoughts and fears regarding money, your rent has been paid, you have fed yourself well, and you do find a way to put gas in your car. So let's find a way to change the negative thoughts into thoughts of gratitude and move out of the space of fear and lack and into the place of faith, trust, and knowing that you are this co-creator of this thing called life as Robert, and you are a powerful man capable of earning large sums of money. The universe responds to your thoughts, so let's change them to ones that serve you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Dr. Svetlana Transky and Marina Manukian on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back here on the Life Changes Show, and what a pleasure to have international award-winning pianist, soloist, educator, all kinds of chamber musician, Dr. Svetlana Chansky. Welcome to the show. And thank you for having Marina Manukian come join us on violin.
Thank you, Filippo, and thank you everyone in the studio. Always an honor and pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you. Svetlana, I've heard you play. I've gotten to know you and some of your work. You started at a very young age, almost like a child prodigy, at a very prominent Russian school, right?
Yes, I started at the Odessa School for Gifted Children. Mm-hmm. And then I immigrated with my family here to Los Angeles, and I went to USC and received my bachelor's and master's and doctorate in piano performance and music education. And now I'm teaching at the Colburn School of Music, and it's a wonderful institution, and we have incredibly gifted and talented children, and very happy there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and so many people talk about the art schools, music schools in Europe and throughout the world, and we do have them here, and that's a fine example, right?
Yes, yeah. Colburn School of Music, as well as Juilliard School of Music. Juilliard is the East Coast, and Colburn is on the West Coast, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, and you are going to be performing for us a piece, which is really actually very timely because it's still winter here. So yeah. What is this piece you're going to
perform? It is called, it's by Peter Tchaikovsky. It's called April Snowdrop Flower. And he composed a set of 12 pieces for each month. Since in Russia, April is still snowing, and then this is the very first flower that peeks through the snow, the very first flower that peaks when it's still extremely cold. So that's the piece.
Well, actually, before you perform the piece, I have to say that I just got to see, I saw you actually a couple of days ago at the Enlightenment Music Series concert that Marina is the founder of the series. And I am proud and happy to be the master of ceremonies at those events. Now, on my program notes, you just said Peter Tchaikovsky. She made me say Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. And I thought, wait a minute, how come you could just say Peter Tchaikovsky and I had to say all that? But thank you, Marina, for stretching me and teaching me a little bit of Russian.
You did a fabulous job pronouncing it correctly.
And I'm making it easy for you now.
Yes. So here's a piece by Peter Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, I can say that. That's okay.
It's our show. No, and it's called The Snowdrop Flower, performed by Dr. Svetlana Transky, live here on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Svetlana Chansky, that was absolutely beautiful. You actually will be performing, the two of you together, Marina and you, this coming Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday evening at Mimoda Studio in West Los Angeles. 8 p.m. concert we have together with my dear colleague from USC days.
Yes.
We've been friends.
We've been friends for a long
time. The two of you?
Yes, we've been playing. We're like one.
Absolutely.
Well, I knew you were friends, but I didn't realize it was from way back when. And actually, Marina, it is a pleasure to have you here. And I am so happy that we are friends. And lately, we haven't gotten
to
see...
Thanks to Piotr.
Yes, thanks to Piotr, my friend Piotr. We haven't... except for Saturday, I hadn't seen you since you and I were in...
Arrived from Sarajevo.
In Sarajevo, yes. Or just got back, yeah. Which, by the way, Marina was the concert master for the Sarajevo Philharmonic New Year's Eve gala and did an amazing job.
And so did you, Filippo. Is their wonderful MC and... absolutely highlighted the program.
You talk about
you there.
Pronouncing words that I had never seen before in my life. It was very special. So yes, we've gotten all of us to do some very special things, and here we are today. This is wonderful. Now, Marina, what else should we share? You're also doing another concert, or is that you, Svetlana?
Well, we're playing
several pieces. Yes, so Svetlana will be featured, of course, with
on Wednesday.
Several solo pieces on the program. And
there was something else you're doing coming up.
She is going to be part of an international music festival.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I'm going to be on the faculty of the Montecito International Music Festival.
Very
here
nice.
In La Sierra University.
Many of which you've won, actually. And Marina, you have a concert coming up in June.
Yes. We have concert coming up, first of all, in March 16.
Yeah.
And April 27th.
For the Enlightenment Music Series. So.
Absolutely. And also one in May. So hopefully you can all join us.
So go to emusicseries.org to learn more about that. And then Marina, you're also at Brand Library, I think, doing...
Yes, I'm doing... I'm actually closing a Brand Library Music Series in June.
Okay. And actually, it's interesting having you here, Marina, as well, because we talked about Terminator 2, how Gene Warren Jr. had won the Oscar for Terminator 2. But of course, he worked extensively on Terminator 1 also. But you have played on 700 films.
Yes, actually.
And so...
I played on scores, 700 movies.
So you two, I'm surprised haven't crossed paths, but how special that you crossed paths in the studio today. And so with that, what are we going to hear next?
Well, one of the pieces we're going to perform on Wednesday evening, it's Romances by Clara Schumann. Clara Schumann, being wife of Robert Schumann, was actually... important musical figure in 19th century music, as she was also the muse for famous Johannes Brahms. And it wasn't much customary for women to be a composer in 19th century, but she managed to write several beautiful works. And actually, she was a very accomplished pianist. She premiered several concertos by Schumann also. Other composers. She was also friends with German violinist Joachim, Joseph Joachim, and these romances they premiered and she dedicated to him. So we will play for you this evening on the program one of the romances. That there are actually three romances. This is the first one.
Well, wonderful. Here is. Marina Manukian on violin and Dr. Svetlana Transky on piano playing Romances, one of the romances by Clara Schumann, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio Noho. Thank you so much. Marina Manukian on violin and Dr. Svetlana Transky on piano. Thank you. That was so beautiful. And actually, Svetlana, you've performed a lot with the Enlightenment Music Series.
Yes.
So to learn more about the Enlightenment Music Series, go to emusicseries.org and find out about their future concerts and how you two can witness, experience this beautiful music.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you.
Thank you, Filippo, for having us. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure having both of you. And also Gene Warren Jr., what a wonderful evening. And so much learning and so much living and so much more to do. So with that, before we go, let's say a big thank you here to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, who not only made us all sound so good tonight, but also introduced us to Gene Warren Jr. So thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leisure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.